And now for something completely different. Fans of the old British comedy show Monty Python's Flying Circus probably recognize that line. It was often used to introduce some offbeat skit, most of which we couldn't describe in detail in a place like this. But I'd like to transform that line from a punchline in a comedy show to a motto for the practice of the Sabbath. See, so often we're told that to observe the Sabbath, you are to do nothing. That's really what the Pharisees had made it in the time of Jesus. You can't do anything or you're breaking the Sabbath. I don't believe that's what God intended at all. It's not doing nothing, it's doing something different. Do something different than you normally do. This morning we are concluding our series on making sense of the Sabbath, and we're going to focus on the practice of the Sabbath. Taking what we have learned and making it a part of our regular lifestyle. So far, we've considered the purpose of the Sabbath. God gave us one day in seven to take a break, to stop doing what we normally do and do something different, to rest, to relax, to restore our energies, and dare I say, enjoy what God has given to us and even the fruits of our own labors. We also looked at the penalty of the Sabbath back in the Old Testament. Those who broke the Sabbath were subjected to the death penalty. Obviously, that's not on the books today in our culture, but we saw that by ignoring this principle of the Sabbath, we may be inflicting the death penalty on ourselves. And then last week, we looked at the perversion of the Sabbath, how the rabbis of Jesus' time had turned the Sabbath from a blessing to a burden. By emphasizing what you could not do to the point that it took away all of its meaning. And we noted that Jesus did not ever condemn the Sabbath or the keeping of the Sabbath. What he condemned was the perversion of the Sabbath, making it something it was never intended to be. We've seen a lot in this series about what the Sabbath is not. Today, I want to focus on what the Sabbath is. And it's too bad Dick Koritz isn't here to see me without a tie and jacket. First, we need to embrace the belief in the Sabbath. Our bodies crave rest. Our souls cry out for it. But like preschoolers or who fight nap time and bedtime, it's the one thing we battle the most to fit into our overwhelmed schedules and weeks. We resist it. Without question, the Bible teaches the Sabbath. The roots are found all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. By the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. There's the beginning of the Sabbath. Then in Exodus chapter 20, as part of the Ten Commandments, God made it a part of the law of Israel. Beginning in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but that's Old Testament, you know. We're not under law, we're under grace, so we don't have to bother with it, right? I think that's overly simplistic. And I think we need to understand something about the Mosaic Law. There are three parts to the law. Now, it's all God's law. It's all inspired. We can learn from all of it, but how it applies to us varies. You will see the civil, ceremonial, and moral aspects of the law. The civil law was the law of the land within the borders of Israel. It was how people within that jurisdiction were to live. We have that in our own day and age. We live in the state of Illinois, and the laws of the state of Illinois apply to us. If we were to travel to Iowa or to Indiana or Wisconsin, the laws of Illinois don't apply, but the laws of that land do. You see this going overseas. In fact, there was a very famous case last year about someone who took something that's legal to have in this country, but they took it to a country where it was not, and they were arrested and detained. Why? Because it's a different jurisdiction. The civil laws, the laws of the land of ancient Israel, do not apply today because we don't live in ancient Israel. And we can still learn from them, but we do not have to practice them. The ceremonial law dealt with the worship of God at the tabernacle, with the sacrifices that were made and the priestly duties. The entire third book of the Old Testament, Leviticus, was all about the priests and Levites and what they were to do. Talked about the sacrifices that were made. Now we know that Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law. He fulfilled the sacrifices. We don't bring a lamb or another animal to be sacrificed because the Lamb of God was sacrificed once for all, and so that has been fulfilled. Now, I believe there's value. As you study the sacrifices, we learn more about what Christ did for us on the cross, but we don't have to follow those particular rules because they've been fulfilled in Christ. But then we have the moral law. This is based on God's own character. These are principles that are universal, applying to all ages, all ethnicities, all classes of people. You say, well, where does the Sabbath fall? I really believe it's all the above. Yes, there are civil components to the law where you could not perform certain duties. You know, God established that in Exodus, and then the rabbis added all kinds of stuff to it later on. There's also a bit of the ceremonial law involved because on Sabbaths, there were certain Sabbaths that you would go to worship and you were to go to the tabernacle or later the temple. But there's also the moral aspect of the law that requires us to set aside time for rest, for worship. And I believe that that continues to this day. I believe that it recognizes that all time belongs to God. He is the Lord over both creation and time. Dr. Nelson Bell was a missionary to China. He was also father-in-law of Billy Graham. He wrote in Christianity Today, "The Ten Commandments have never been abrogated. It is still wrong to kill, to steal, to commit adultery. To deny the validity of one day in seven as a day of rest and spiritual refreshment is to miss one of God's greatest gifts to mankind." So to completely rule out one of the Ten Commandments, while the other nine are supposedly repeated and reaffirmed in the New Testament, I think is to fragment God's law. I would say for Christians, the Sabbath rules are dead, but the principles remain. This was the case for Jesus. He regularly attended the Sabbath or synagogue on the Sabbath day, but he was entirely free from all the traditional rules and regulations that had encrusted that law of the Sabbath. I firmly believe that for the sake of our health, our sanity, our families, our relationships, our spirituality, even our society, We all need to have a Sabbath. At the most basic level, one day off a week is good for our bodies, our minds, and our souls. It gives us an opportunity to relax the pace at which our body's machinery is working. We can rest our eyes from computer screens. We can rest our backs from the stress of office chairs. We can give a break to the metabolism that is kept going by caffeine. A day off helps us to recognize that we are not machines. That's not how God created us. We are created in His image, and we need that time, not just to regain our strength, because God wasn't tired, but He stopped what He was doing so that He could enjoy what He had done. And I believe that we have that same need. The Sabbath was not made to be a burden to people. That's what man does. That's what religion does. God gave it as a gift. So I think we need to embrace the belief in the Sabbath. It's grounded in creation, established in the law. Jesus both preached and practiced the correct observance of the Sabbath. Should we do any less? Furthermore, we need to employ the break of the Sabbath. We could spend all day long debating about whether the Sabbath applies today, whether it should be observed on Saturday or on Sunday or whatever day of the week, what should or should not be done on the Sabbath. But it's really all moot if we don't do it. The Sabbath isn't just a point of thought, it's an action. It's something we do. And I really believe there's wisdom for us from the book of Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 14. By the way, I believe Romans 14 and the first part of 15, one of the most important passages in all the Bible. If you're not familiar with it, I'd encourage you to spend some time in Romans 14. It would save so much discord in the family of Christ if we would follow what Paul says here. Romans chapter 14, I'd like to look at verse 5. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. He who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. In verse 5, Paul identifies those who consider the Sabbath as a particular day on one side, and those who consider every day alike on the other. We might say today, there are those who are convinced the seventh day, Saturday, that's the day you are to rest, that's the day you're to worship. Others are just as convinced it should be Sunday, that's the Lord's day, and that's the day you need to take off and you need to make that your day of rest. But what do you do for folks who have to work those days? I mean, if you're in the healthcare field, you pretty much have to work every other weekend. That's just the way it is. There are many whose jobs require them to work those particular days. So for them, they're saying it doesn't matter which day your Sabbath is, you just need to have one. And notice what Paul says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. You think it through, you study the scriptures, you pray about it, and you come to a conclusion. Don't just take my word for it, don't just take somebody else's word for it. You need to know why you're doing what you're doing. Be convinced in your own mind. Sabbath is a state of mind. It's not just a day of a week. But I'd also suggest to you that Sabbath is a choice. We have to consciously slow our pace one day a week. And it needs to become a way of living. Sabbath is a spiritual choice to have time serve us rather than us serve time. One author puts it this way, Sabbath is a gift you give yourself. Remember that even God rested. You can too. I know this is difficult to do if you work long hours and you only have 2 days in the week for marketing and laundry and errands and housework, but devoting a day to your faith and yourself and your family is a magical expenditure that, like tithing your time, will return to you in inexplicable ways. I love that thought, tithing your time. You know, we always talk about tithing our money. Now, in tithing our money, we're saying, God, you own it all. You own everything. Everything I have comes from you. I'm giving you back a portion of what you give to me for your use. We do the same thing when we take a Sabbath. It's not 1 out of 10, it's 1 out of 7. But the idea is the same. I am giving you this day, God, acknowledging that you give me all of my days. You're the giver of my life. You're the creator of time. It all belongs to you. But I'm going to set this aside for a certain purpose, to rest, to be restored. If it happens to be on a Sunday, to worship together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. If it's not a Sunday, find a place to worship yourself. Spend time with God. But recharge. Be restored. And I can attest to this myself. I told you from the very beginning of this series, I'm preaching this to me as much as anybody. I'm the worst when it comes to not taking a day off, not getting adequate rest. It's been a problem for a long time. And I figured if I'm going to preach this series, I better start practicing it because there are some people that are going to be asking, and some of you have. So I said, all right, Friday's my day off. I'm not going to do any church work on Friday. Well, 2 weeks ago, I had a really busy week. I was able to get everything done for Sunday by Thursday night except my Sunday evening sermon. And that particular Sunday evening sermon was on one of the stickiest passages in the New Testament. I had almost 300 notes for that one sermon to go through. And the temptation was, well, you got to work on it on Friday. You know, you got a lot of work to do here. You got it. And I just said, no. I developed as my motto, not today. Not today. And I didn't. I managed to get through the entire day without opening my laptop, without cracking open a book or anything. I did it. Felt pretty good. The next day on Saturday, I'm like, okay, got to get it done now. I started in on it. That sermon came together in an hour and a half. And that can only be from God. Now, I've heard a lot of stories about people that talk about tithing. And those times when, oh man, I really don't know if I can afford to tithe, but I tithe anyway, and God always comes through. He always, you know, provides. I believe He does that with our time too. You might say, I'm too busy to take time off. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy. You're too busy. You need to take that time. You need to make that time. Make it a commitment. Make it a choice. Because, folks, if you let other people choose, you'll never do the right thing. You've got to make it a choice. The proper way or the proper day to keep the Sabbath is not the point. It's the perspective of our hearts. There are people, as I mentioned, that have to work on Saturday or Sunday or both. Find a day that works for you. The word Sabbath, it means to stop, to cease, to rest. It doesn't mean sixth or seventh. It's come to mean seventh, but initially it meant to stop. So whatever day works for you, do it and protect it, guard it, because you need it. And God has given you that as a gift. It can be as simple as the words of the poet. Worship and remember to keep the Sabbath day, Take a rest and think of God. Put your work away. Do something different. And to do that, you're going to have to make it a habit. Much is made of the habits of highly successful people. I think somebody wrote a bestseller on it. If we're to make the Sabbath the truly important component of life, we need to do it regularly. We need to employ this system long enough, this pattern, so that when something comes up and interrupts it, we really miss it. And it's going to take some determination. It's going to take, and for some of us, this is really, really hard. It's going to take sometimes saying no. Not to temptation to sin, but invitations to do good things that really don't have to be done on that day or don't have to be done by you. That's a tough pill to swallow, but it needs to be done. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you start doing something different, it's going to feel a little weird. Just like preaching without a suit and tie. This is a little awkward for me. I'm not used to it. Don't get used to it. But the idea is, do something different. And that's what the Sabbath needs to be. Do something different. Go somewhere you haven't been. Someplace, take a day trip that you've wanted to do and just haven't done. Dig out those old photographs you've been saying, I want to go through and, you know, whatever it might be. Sleep all day if you need to. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't think that that's the only thing you can do on the Sabbath. But do something different. Follow a different script. Physically and mentally, we need a regular change of pace because a rundown person is an unproductive person. But I want you to understand, rest does not necessarily mean inactivity. For some of us, a change of pace means that we do more physical exertion. Now, understand, when God established the Sabbath, when He gave the law to the people of Israel, they all worked jobs of manual labor. They worked hard at whatever they did. And there are many of you that you may work in a factory, you may have your own business, you work hard. Physical exertion, you're going to need to rest. And then there are others of you that work in an office. You sit in a chair all day, you stare at a computer screen for 8 hours, and you work primarily with your mind. For you, a Sabbath rest, a change of pace, might be going out working in the yard, working in your garden, following around a little white ball all over creation. Whatever that might be, it might actually be more physical exertion than you put in the other 6 days, but it's a break. It's something different, and it can be very refreshing. I've known people that on their day off, you know, they're out sweating, working up, you know, they're working in the yard, they're working in their garden. I don't get that because I don't like that, but I know other people that don't like golf, so that's okay. And you think, wow, this is your rest? Oh, yeah. When I go back to the office on Monday, I'm ready to take on the world. Why? Because they've given their mind a break. They've given their eyes a break from computer screens. They're doing something different. So your Sabbath may look very different from other people's Sabbath, and that's okay. Don't compare yourself to everybody else. That's not the point. It's something we do for ourselves. Say, where do you draw the line on that? Physical activity, well, whatever we do shouldn't return us to work Monday more tired than when we left on Friday. The Sabbath is a day to follow a different script. It's an opportunity after 6 days of work to disconnect from all of that, to savor what one author calls the givenness of life, the fact that it's not all up to me. I talked before about dethroning the idol of being our own God. we get to the point where if I don't do it, it won't get done, or it won't get done right. Maybe let it go. Maybe somebody else will pick it up and it'll be a blessing to them. Maybe they'll do it better than you did. Or maybe you come to find that you don't have to do it all. It's really a statement of faith in God. Remember the Israelites? On the sixth day in the wilderness, they were to collect two portions of manna because on the seventh, there wouldn't be any. They had to really have faith in God that He was going to provide for them. Same is true with the Sabbath. You say, I can't afford to take one day off in seven. Where's your faith? This is something God designed, and if you are faithful to Him, I guarantee you, He will be faithful to you, and He will provide. Finally, we enjoy the benefits of the Sabbath. And notice, I've used the word enjoy, not endure. We need to get past this satanic idea that anytime we enjoy ourselves, we need to go to confession. Every time I relax, I feel guilty. That comes from the pit of hell, not God's word. Enjoy the benefits of the Sabbath. I like what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Don't let others judge you because you observe the Sabbath differently than they do. You say, well, I can't help it if somebody's judging me. That's true. Just don't let it bother you. If they're judging you, they're sinning. They need to repent. Don't you change to try to make them happy. There's only one person you need to make happy. That's God. If you are observing the Sabbath in a way that is pleasing to God, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. And if people come along and say, what are you doing that on a Sunday for? Let it go. Just, pearls before swine, just let it go. Don't let other people judge you. Enjoy. Elsewhere, Paul writes in Romans 14:22, so what you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Oh, that people would do that more. You've got a conviction and it's different than somebody else's, keep it to yourself. So much unnecessary friction happens because we're trying to force our ideas down other people's throats. It's unnecessary. If you have a certain day of a Sabbath that's yours, great. If you practice it a certain way, fine. If somebody else does it differently, you're not their judge. If they're doing it wrong, God will take care of them. That's not your call. And if somebody's trying to do that to you, you just say, I'm sorry, I don't work for you. I'll answer to my boss. Leave it at that. Now, we can feel guilty when we take time to rest physically, mentally, emotionally, because there's so many things that scream for our attention. But God knows that when we need to give our minds and our bodies a break. Solomon writes in Psalm 127:2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for God grants sleep to those He loves. Just change that word sleep to rest, and it really fits here. You're always going, you're pushing it, you're working 18 hours a day, you're thinking, I've got to do this or it won't get done. God will give you rest. You got to trust in Him. You know, we wonder sometimes why we can't give anymore. And the truth is, you can't pour out of an empty vessel. And I know in my life, there have been times I'll pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out, and there ain't nothing left to pour. And that's my fault. because I have not been following God's design and saying, you need a break. You need to refresh yourself. You need to restore yourself. You need to rest. It's time to rest. Fill back up. Put the guilt aside. And for the love of God, take a nap if you need one. Nothing unspiritual about that. Rest in the Lord. Find stillness. Stop running on empty. Before we leave the subject, though, I want to consider a very important yet often ignored New Testament text on the Sabbath. It was actually our scripture reading this morning. It's found in Hebrews. Denise read Hebrews chapter 4. I'd like to back up a little into chapter 3 and give the entire context here. So Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 7. This is a long reading, so bear with me. And then we'll conclude with some final thoughts. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation and said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And they, again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, that those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. You know, the book of Hebrews is unlike any other book of the New Testament. I think it's harder to interpret than Revelation myself. It's just written very differently. It's challenging for the interpreter. Here the author draws from Psalm 95, emphasizing that last phrase, they will never enter my rest. And then he connects that rest with the seventh day of creation, and even referring to a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Now, without doing a deep dive into these verses, suffice it to say that some people did not experience that Sabbath rest, while the author is encouraging his readers to experience it. What makes the difference? Notice the last verse of chapter 3. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. It was a lack of faith that kept them from entering into that Sabbath rest. And then chapter 4, verse 6 concludes, they didn't enter God's rest because of their disobedience. They didn't believe, they didn't behave. And that's why they missed out on God's Sabbath rest. You know what the answer is? In the words of the old hymn, trust and obey. Believe it and then do it. Don't just talk about it, actually do it. So how does this apply to our understanding of the Sabbath? I think it says something not only about our need physically and mentally and emotionally to rest, but it says something about us spiritually as well. Sabbath is not just a day, it's a disposition. It's a mindset of resting in God for everything we have to do, believing that God is at the heart of all of our activity, and that all the demands on us are also demands on Him. Sabbath is a profound conviction that God is still working even while we rest. It's that peaceful belief that there's a strong, experienced hand at the helm, an understanding that God is working out everything for our good. Sabbath is a rest from our work. It's an unencumbered, unhurried, relaxed lifestyle that grows out of a profound awareness that it is God who works in you to bring about His good purpose. You know, throughout the Bible, we see many commands. Be still. Wait on the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Fear not. The Lord wants us to find peace and rest in Him. We find in Him a safe space where we can recharge when the world takes the best we have to offer. Psalm 131 says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. That's Sabbath right there. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. We're called to quiet obedience. When we submit to the practice of rest, we're allowing our hearts and our minds that space and freedom to glean the truth and wisdom the Father has for us. I don't care if it's Saturday. I don't care if it's Sunday. I don't care what day of the week it is. I don't care what you do or not do on your Sabbath. As long as you are taking that regular time to rest, to be refreshed, to be restored, it's really a statement of faith and it's an act of obedience. Lord, I believe that You are the giver of all time. I'm going to give some of that time back to You. I believe that You give me my strength and my abilities, but I also know I need to be recharged. And I trust that the things I'm not going to do on this day, You're going to take care of. Because You're God and I'm not. For some of you, that's going to be something completely different. And that's really what the Sabbath is all about.